this is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
G'day, you are listening to RTRFM 92.1, The Sound Alternative. We're broadcasting from the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people, and I'd like to offer them and their elders my respects and acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This is the Indie Media Program, your weekly dose of grassroots activist media and news, that sort of thing. Huge thanks to Jeff Bullen, doing 2 days a week at the moment for On The Record. He's running the gauntlet. Good on him. Yeah, you can catch him tomorrow morning or On The Record every morning, 9 a.m. Monday to Thursday. My name's Joni Boyd, and it's really good to be back in the chair. I'm still a bit jet-lagged from being over in Ireland. Yeah, was over there on some family stuff, but it's good to be back in the chair. Bear with me if I press some weird buttons today. Today on Indie Media, we will be having a chat with sex-positive senior counsellor and pro-choice advocate from Perth Holistic Counselling, Sarah Newbold, and we will be talking about the current access or lack thereof to mental health support for those seeking an abortion. During the interview that Zoe had, new Indie Media contributor Zoe, had with Sarah Newbold, they spoke about how financial support and physical access to abortion services could impact the mental health of those seeking them.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
Returning to the topic of abortion here on Indie Media, new contributor Zoe Theodore has a chat with Perth and Frio Holistic Counselling's Sarah Newbold about access to abortion care and mental health related to abortion. It's a very good chat. I thoroughly recommend you have a listen in.
On the 24th of June this year, Roe v. Wade was overturned by the US Supreme Court. Shortly after it hit the media, protesters took to the streets of Perth and other cities in Australia to stand in solidarity with those impacted by the decision. America is not the only country that dictates the rights of those who have a uterus. Countries such as Egypt, the Philippines, and Madagascar have among the most restrictive abortion laws. At the forefront of protesters' demands was providing access to abortion as a human right. While abortion is legal across Australia, each state has its own legislation around the topic. This in turn is highlighted by a lack of straightforward access to support to those seeking an abortion. At present, medical abortions are available up to 9 weeks gestation and need to be prescribed by a doctor. Depending on where you live, they can be accessed online in clinic and cost between $275 with Medicare and $700 for those without. Surgical abortions start from $650 for those with Medicare, as only some public hospitals bulk bill the procedure. What does exponentially lack, however, is the access to mental health support around the topic. This includes before and after the procedure and is not exclusive to women who are considering having an abortion, but also to gender diverse people. Speaking to us is Sarah Newbold from Perth and Fremantle Holistic Counselling. Sarah is a sex-positive, pro-choice senior counsellor and known advocate for abortion rights.
Sarah, could you tell us a little about what services you provide as a counsellor and your personal experience around the pro-choice movement?
So I run Perth Holistic Counselling and also Fremantle Holistic Counselling, and we're a trauma-informed service working with adults aged over 18, and we provide counselling on a broad range of issues, but there are some areas of interest that we like to focus on, in particular trauma, grief, gender, sexuality, and termination counselling as well, where one of the only counselling services that I'm aware of in Perth that provides abortion counselling. I've been a lifelong pro-choice advocate, and I've always been an intersectional feminist, and I've always believed in people's rights to access reproductive health and to have reproductive choice. I think it's a fundamental human right, and it's one that I will always fight very hard for.
In Western Australia, obviously other than yourself, what known psychological support and or counselling is available for those finding themselves in the early or late stages of pregnancy considering a definite or possible abortion?
Unfortunately, services are quite limited in Perth and more so in regional Western Australia. Doing a Google search is sort of quite terrifying. Sexual health quarters in Northbridge offer termination counselling, and they're a really excellent service. I believe they're free, and we provide it as well. I did a Google search just before our conversation, just out of interest, to see who would come up in Perth. And on the first page, it was mostly Christian-based counselling services. So I would question, you know, how supportive and whether or not they are pro-choice. One can only make an assumption about that. So there, as I said, there may be other services out there that I'm not aware of, but it is really limited, which has a really significant impact.
What support do non-binary and trans men have when seeking an abortion? And do you feel that this pro-choice movement has been inclusive of their rights as much as cis women?
So firstly, it's important for me to say that I am a cisgendered woman and I can't speak on behalf of non-binary, trans or gender diverse people, and I can't speak to their experience. But from my knowledge, access to services and support is really limited for gender diverse people. And just the language that's used when discussing abortion, it often is relating to women. And I think the movement really needs to shift away from that and saying more people who are pregnant, people who need to have an abortion. Language really matters. And, you know, recently I went to one of the protests that was held in the city in Perth and listening to the speakers, who all did a fantastic job. But again, the language was really centred around women. And I wonder for those people who are gender diverse who are in the crowd, how that made them feel. Certainly in terms of accessing services, I know for sexual health quarters and for our service at Perth Holistic Counselling, we are gender affirming and we very much welcome everyone. And we are very mindful of the services that we provide and we want it to be inclusive, welcoming and safe for everyone. In terms of gender diverse people accessing abortion, I don't know how that looks from within a medical setting. I can't speak to that, but I would have concerns around it.
How are those on lower incomes experiencing homelessness, people with disabilities and victims of assault, particularly disadvantaged by the lack of mental and financial support around obtaining an abortion at present?
It's huge, and it's accessing support is already really challenging. And then if you add in further complexity like family violence, like homelessness or disability, you're already then talking about people who are financially disadvantaged, who may not readily be able to access services, and even contemplating if you have an abortion and you don't have somewhere to sleep at night, where do you go afterwards? Where do you go for support, to be cared for, to rest and to recuperate? these are really significant issues and ones that aren't dealt with. So I think there is a very real lived impact for marginalised groups in our society, and we don't talk about it enough.
And just lastly, what impact would Medicare have by covering the procedural costs as well as mental health services both before and after a medical or surgical abortion?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think any support that can be given is good. And I would like to see other services provided, you know, say beyond sexual health quarters that do help people either pre or post abortion. Yeah, we need more financial assistance. And I think we also, more importantly, need more public conversation around this to remove the stigma, shame and discrimination, because largely abortion is hidden and it's not something we talk about. And just to add as well, there is a new initiative in Fremantle called the Abortion Project. They are a peer support network. They're a fantastic initiative and they're doing a lot of advocacy in their space, and I would highly recommend them and I commend them for the work that they're doing. I think it's really important and they're doing some really tough work in this space. So I would recommend checking them out. I know they're on Instagram if you look for the Abortion Project.
That was Perth Holistic Counselling's Sarah Newbold there chatting to Indie Media's Zoe Theodore here on RTRFM 92.1.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
Earlier in the year on Indie Media, we chatted to Zane Wayman from the North Frio Social Club, a group that's trying to turn the old North Frio Bowls Club into a hub for grassroots activism and community events. But unfortunately, their proposal hasn't been taken up and it looks like they're going to go with someone else. But the North Frio Social Club has a big action call out. So reading from their socials. Hi all. The good news is that the North Frio Social Club was shortlisted by City of Fremantle staff to lease the former bowls club. However, sadly, council staff have decided not to recommend our proposal to council, choosing another proposal instead. But it's not over yet. Council are still able to consider alternative proposals, including the North Frio Social Club, when they meet this Wednesday. Our vision for this space has attracted so much support for the community and community organisations representing what Fremantle really is about. We still very much hope we can build an inclusive and accessible space for all, no matter your age, background, or locality. Please join us this Wednesday to support the North Frio Social Club and demonstrate the need for genuine community-run spaces. So that's 5:45 p.m. on this Wednesday, the 24th of August. Meet up outside the Wallyalup Civic Centre and, show your support for this community space. Check out their socials, North Frio Social Club, for more information. And now for some international headlines. In climate news, China has deployed cloud-seeding airplanes over drought-stricken parts of the country as hundreds of millions of people endure China's longest heatwave on record. This week, China's Ministry of Water Resources ordered planes to drop silver iodide into the clouds over Hubei province, where prolonged heat has damaged crops and led parts of the Yangtze River to run dry. Similar scenes are playing out along rivers in Europe, including the Rhine, the Danube, and the Loire in western France, where this week residents visited dry riverbeds that are normally covered with meters of water. The low river levels have impacted France's 56 nuclear plants, many of which rely on river water to keep their reactors cool. This week, French officials granted an exemption to environmental laws to allow nuclear plants to discharge hot water into already warming local rivers. This comes as Europe's glaciers are experiencing their worst summer melt season on record. Scientists with the European Commission say this summer's extreme drought could be the continent's worst in 500 years. Workers at the United Kingdom's largest container port have begun what they say will be an 8-day strike, becoming the latest workers in the country to take action to demand higher pay amid rising inflation and the soaring cost of living. Nearly 2,000 workers at the port of Felixstowe, which handles about 4 million containers a year from 2,000 ships, accounting for more than half of the country's incoming shipping freight, walked off the job on Sunday. Postal workers also plan a 4-day strike later this month, while telecoms giant BT recently faced its first stoppage in decades. Amazon warehouse staff, criminal lawyers, and refuse collectors are among those who have staged walkouts in recent weeks. In the United States, the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is announcing a sweeping reorganization of her agency. Dr. Rochelle Walensky acknowledged failures in the CDC's response to COVID-19 and promised better communication with researchers and the public. However, this week the Biden administration signaled it will stop buying COVID-19 vaccines, treatments, and tests as early as this fall. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha said this to the US Chamber of Commerce Foundation. Getting us out of that acute emergency phase where the US government is buying the vaccines, buying the treatments, buying the diagnostic tests, we need to get out of that business over the long run. And so my hope is that in 2023, you're going to see the commercialization of almost all of these products. Some of it is actually going to begin this fall. In Argentina, massive anti-government protests continue denouncing worsening unemployment, poverty, and skyrocketing inflation and living costs. On Wednesday, thousands of workers, union members, and social justice advocates took to the streets of Buenos Aires, demanding the government of President Alberto Fernández increase living wages and do more to address the crisis. In Mexico, a truth commission formed by President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has confirmed the involvement of federal and state authorities in the 2014 disappearance of 43 students in Ayotzinapa, calling it a high-level cover-up state crime. The commission also said there is no indication any of the students are alive. Their disappearance sparked international condemnation and mounting accusations of human rights abuses against former President Enrique Peña Nieto. The students' families for years have expressed some hope that some of them survived, often leading protests where they chanted, "You took them alive, we want them back alive." Next month will mark Ayotzinapa's 8th anniversary. And finally, Singapore will end its ban of gay sex following years of debate of gay rights in the conservative nation. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong announced the decision on national television on Sunday. Previously, the government had indicated it would no longer prosecute people under the laws, which could be traced back to the country's time as a British colony. Now the laws will be repealed completely.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it. Is there real hip-